T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Adam McKelvey, the Sultan of Sweat. What's happening, brother?
What's going on, man?
Wow, that's what I am. It's not that hot down here.
No, I actually am the Sultan of Sweat because we went to the All-Star game last night for the NBA. Very fun time. But we're in the media room, and you know these big events. There's like 200 media people in this room. Everyone's hairline looks great, women, men. And then there's me just sweating my ass off. So I don't know what that means, but it was ugly.
Sounds like quite an event. Now, were you there for the pipe breaking for the Journal Sentinel guys out in the
press? No, that was on Saturday night when Matt Velasquez was trying to do some work, and then there was like brown liquid seeping onto his desk.
Did you ever determine what that was?
Well, I'm pretty sure we all know what it was, but there was no official determination.
It's a little scary.
There were no tests.
There were no tests.
No.
Okay.
Well, I thought Josh Hader got crapped on this weekend by in our segue here, as long as we're talking about that. I don't get this. He's worth every dime of six. He's worth $12 million. He's worth more than that. I don't like the way the arbitration thing goes. And the Brewers seem like they're saving some money here. They are. But would you rather give Hader the $6 million and have him be happy, or nickel and dime him by having to go to arbitration and giving him $4 million? I didn't get this at all.
Look, this is just – this arbitration process leads into this discussion on some player from every team every year. And it's not – I think nickel and diming is just mischaracterizing what this system is. This is not the Milwaukee Brewers against Josh Hader. This is – it's hard to even explain how much pressure teams are under to present the right number and how much pressure players are under to present the right number. The team from the commissioner's office, the players from the players' union, because these numbers are the numbers that are used for all the other players moving forward and set salaries. And if you complain about players' salaries being too high and payrolls being too high and player X getting $5 million and he's not worth that much, then you shouldn't also be mad that the Brewers aren't paying Josh Hader, because Josh Hader is really, really good. These things are all interconnected, and the system is based on comps of players past. And I tried in my story to sort of lay that out. It's hard to lay out the entire system every time you write about it because it just gets so long and boring. I think people lose interest. But the basic facts of it are – Josh Hader wanted to set the record for a first-time eligible reliever and use Jonathan Papelbon as the baseline for that. Arbitration, archaic as it is, uses saves as one of the really important measures and one of the important stats in setting these salaries. Hader doesn't have the stats because of the way he's been used, agreeably. So the Brewers, and really with input surely from the commissioner's office, used Jurius Familia, who got that exact same salary after 1 year as the closer like Josh Hader, with the exact same number of career saves back in 2016. So it's not the Brewers nickel and diming Hader. It's not Hader being greedy if you see it the other way. It's both sides using historical precedent to try to find the right number of a salary. And it led to a dispute in this case. Hader didn't get his number. But I think he made clear that now you just sort of go play baseball. He's still has 3 years of this coming. The salaries are going to go up each time, and he is going to make a lot of money in this game.
You know, with the Brewers, where they have Josh Hader in terms of the, the phrase young controllable talent, Josh Hader is almost the perfect example of that. There's still a few more arbitration years. He's still 26 years old. The thing with Josh Hader is you think, well, if I'm Josh, I want a multi-year contract. I don't want to go through this process. I want to make my money, and I want to know that I'm going to be secure. But for the Brewers, you know, as volatile as relievers are, they almost have I don't think they have any incentive in trying to buy out those arbitration years at all. And I think that for how valuable that Josh has been and will be, I don't think when his Brewer career is over, he'll have ever truly made what he deserved to be making.
Well, you know, I guess we'll see. The question is going to be how durable will he be? And so far, he's been very durable, and that's in part through this sort of system of unique usage that they've come up with. We spent 2 years ago how much time debating whether the Brewers were misusing Josh Hader by this pattern of multiple innings with often multiple days off in between. And they found that they felt that based on their feedback with Hader and what they saw from the radar gun, that that was the way to use him most effectively, get the most really quality big innings out of him, and keep him healthy and keep that fastball up where it's supposed to be. And, you know, a couple of years later, I think everybody is pretty comfortable with the pattern of usage that they've used. But still, when you watch the guy, this is a thin, lean, lanky player firing max effort fastballs at hitters for multiple innings a couple times a week. And is that going to prove, you know, is that fastball going to keep that velocity over time? And look, there is some risk, I think, involved in that. I don't know if either side is interested in extension. He certainly very soon becomes a interesting extension candidate where you right now it would probably have to be after this year, at least it would have to be a 4-year deal where you buy out those arb years. Typically teams will want to buy one free agent year. So, you know, a 4-year deal for Josh Hader after the season, I don't know. I don't know the comps well enough to know what that number would look like, but it would be a pretty lucrative deal. And that would represent, I think, some risk for the Brewers, given what you said, that relievers tend to have these up and down seasons and they can be really volatile. So maybe he is a guy that continues to go year to year.
But he's always had this edge, and I hope he doesn't lose that edge because he thinks, boy, this organization, I've gone out there and put my arm on the line for these guys, pitching several days in a row, multiple innings, bailed this team, dragged this team to the postseason, yet they don't think about me highly enough where they feel like, since I put my career on the line, that I deserve $6 million instead of $4 million. I hope he doesn't lose that edge.
Well, there's no incentive for him to do so because he is incentivized to continue having these types of years because that will lead to a big jump next year, and it will lead to a big jump the year after that and a jump the year after that in the same arbitration system in which – his salary is based, you know, it's going to go up from where it was the year before. So he's highly incentivized besides just being a competitor and, you know, that being one of his strengths that got him to this point. But just besides that, he is incentivized financially to continue putting up these record-setting seasons because then he can keep asking for these record-setting salaries and one of these years he's going to get it.
Adam McKelvey joining us, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. The Brewers trickling in. Yelich was in the dunk contest and then somehow in Phoenix like 2 hours later, which I thought
that's the power of having enough glue to get yourself a private plane, baby.
Yeah, not bad. But I think the storyline with baseball is what everybody's got to say about the Houston Astros, and specifically what Rob Manfred has to say is that, yeah, these guys, they're punished by having to feel bad when people are going to boo them all season, essentially. Have you talked to a lot of guys about this, about the Astros situation? I know Zach Davies not with the team anymore, but he had a tweet about it, about how, okay, I guess we're not supposed to say anything, even though they all got away with it. I think that this is a situation that Rob Manfred wanted to bury under the rug, but the more that he talks and the more that the Astros talk, it's making people that maybe weren't so interested in the story, it's making them really mad about how baseball's handling it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I have been surprised that this topic has been almost not discussed in the Brewers clubhouse. It hasn't come up in any of our chats so far with players. The most outspoken Brewer on this is Brett Anderson, who is looking like a very entertaining Twitter follow for those who aren't following him yet. He speaks pretty plainly and has some opinions on things. And it looks like he's going to be a good guy to, you know, keep an eye on throughout the year. But otherwise, I'm sure amongst themselves they're having conversations, but it has not been a big topic. And part of that is there's just the most explosive stuff have been, I think, a lot of guys who were personally impacted by this. I don't think there's a lot of those guys in this Brewers clubhouse. There's not like the former Dodgers, 17 Dodgers. There's not former Astros that were part of this. This team seems a little disconnected from it, and maybe that's why it hasn't come up as much. But it hasn't been a big topic.
Worried that this team is going to take a step backward because of the changeover. There's so much unknown about what this team is going to be about, and I'm a little skeptical about this upcoming season. I hope I'm wrong, but just a little skeptical.
Well, I think you are definitely in the majority, Chuck. And what I wrote in my spring training preview coming down here is someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong, because it seems to me this is maybe an oversimplification of what fans are feeling. But I would say the vast majority of fans are skeptical, to put it mildly, probably a little angry, to put it, probably more plainly, angry that payroll would come down by 20% coming off back-to-back postseason appearances. They feel like the team is not properly investing to keep this thing going with Christian Yelich in his prime. The Brewers, from their point of view, and Mark Attanasio expressed this on deck, David Stearns has expressed this, Craig Counsell has expressed this, believe that they are as good or better as they were last year. And
do they, though? I mean, I know they say that, but...
No, I mean, Mark Attanasio said that, and he said, look, I'm not just an owner saying that. So they are on the record as making the prediction that they are going to be as good or better as next year, or as last year. And that is based on everybody derides WAR, and it's certainly not perfect. But every team bases their decisions around their own internal formulas for what essentially amounts to wins above replacement. And they talk about players in turn, picking up Jed Jerko as a one-win player, and Christian Yelich, they hope, is a five-win player, et cetera, et cetera. And they come up with this formula for what they think their team is going to be. And Mark Attanasio says that their internal sort of top-secret evaluations have been very accurate, going back even to the year where they surprised everybody by being good, the year where they got to the final weekend of the season before getting eliminated. That season, they predicted basically that to happen. And Mark Attanasio says that their internal numbers sort of predict a team in terms of wins and losses similar to last season. That's good enough to get you in the picture at the end. Then you get hot at the right time and you make a run and you can win the World Series. The Washington Nationals showed you, who are built differently. I certainly grant that, but they sort of were a team that got in and then got hot. So look, someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong. One side is going to be eating crow at the end of the season. I don't know who it's going to be. This is why when you guys ask me, we get close to opening day, I'm sure you'll ask me for my prediction, and I'll try to fight you and probably say a number in the end and be totally wrong because I'm horrible at it. And I'm really happy that I'm not the guy who has to make these predictions. I'm just the guy who has to watch the games and try to cover it for everybody.
But they're going to come out there, because if they say, well, I think we take it a step backward, they're going to come out and say, well, we think we're better than we were or as good as last year. That's just the company line they're going to have to give.
Well, look, and then they're going to look foolish, I think, in the end. And that is the risk they're taking. And maybe you're right about that that's just PR spin. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're all saying. I mean, Craig Counsell said it as plainly as you can say it. He said, we're going to be good. I don't think Craig Counsell is a guy who spouts a lot of company BS. And I think he showed that in his reaction to the Josh Hader thing, frankly. So, again, someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong. And they will take a hit next season if they are bad this season, and it's because they didn't invest. The one thing I'll say that we lose sight of is, we get real – look, I do it every year. I get down to spring training, and I think we're doing it, if I'm right, today on MLB.com, we're starting to try to predict the roster because it's fun. It's something really interesting to debate during spring training. And then we get to opening day and we dissect the opening day roster. and we do it every year. And the point that Council tries to make and Stearns tries to make every year is that that's just your opening day team. That's not the team. And I think we kind of get hung up on what things look like on paper today, and we kind of forget about how much things change during the year. And the one thing that I think everybody can agree on this year is that they certainly have left themselves flexibility to improve as things go along in the season. So, for example, if they're totally wrong that this Jerko Sogard platoon at third base is going to be better than, you know, Chuck and Winkler thinks it's going to be, if that turns out to be wrong and that duo stinks, well, they at least have the flexibility to pursue upgrades. And I think David Stearns has done a pretty good job over the years of making in-season upgrades. And even ones that don't blow anybody away when they happen have turned out to be pretty good for the most part.
That's a really dismissive way to say Chuck and Winkler, by the way.
I think you guys are, you might be proved totally right on all this stuff. So I'm not trying to be dismissive. The thing about baseball is I think it's so much harder to predict. I don't know. Someone should do a study and go back and look at like all the NFL predictions before the season and see like what percentage correct they were, and then do the same thing for baseball. I would venture to guess that the football predictions are more accurate, that there are fewer like total surprises in the football business than in baseball, because it seems like the game is so like year to year, so tough to figure out. So you guys, the fans who are ticked off about all these losses and the players that were brought in and think they are a fourth place mid-70 win team, I am not trying to dismiss that prediction. That is a perfectly valid thing to worry about. And if it happens, I'll be the first to say you were right.
Hey, so with Council being very against the arbitration process, and he's been a player, but he's against
executive board member. He was a big member of the union.
So he's against it, but isn't that like talking against David Stearns and Ant Nazio about that?
No, because it's talking against the system of arbitration. The Brewers.
But if I'm the Brewers and I spent like no money, I'm just going to say, you know what? Let's just give Josh. What's $2 million? I'm just going to give it to Josh.
Yeah. So what's $2 million is that impacts Josh Hader's salary in each of the next three seasons dramatically. It's $2 million this year.
They're going to burn his arm out anyway.
$4 million extra the year after that, and $6 million extra the year after that. And then it leads to $2 million more for the next really good reliever they hopefully develop. And then the next guy after that, it leads to $3 million more because everything's got to go higher than it was. All of these salaries are connected, and that's why Cut Council was not ripping. I've seen people think this, was not ripping the Brewers' offer. He was ripping the system that produced that number. And look, the Brewers filed the quote-unquote right number, and Josh Hader didn't. The Brewers won the case based on what the judges who have all the information and all the relevant comps and sat there and heard the cases. They went with the Brewers' number. And so that was the more compelling argument. Hader's side was going for a record, and they feel like they had really good justification to do so and a really special, unique player. So they made that argument, it just didn't work out. I honestly think that outside the clubhouse, people are way more mad about this than Josh Hader is inside the clubhouse. I think he knows sort of how this works and is just kind of getting down to it now.
Adam McKelvey on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all those various name platforms. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. See ya.
See you, buddy.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If your passion has outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply Local Lending since 1935. Adam also did write, it was just a brief thing on Twitter, but a nice little tribute to Tony Fernandez, who passed away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.